Zayin and Likutei Moran, in middle of paragraph Gimel, in our Likutei Morans, it's page 51, the right-hand column, about seven lines down from the top of the page, where Rabbeinu Zal says the words, we'll just give a very short review of what we spoke about till now. Rabbeinu Zal started talking about the greatness of tzaddikim, in how tzaddikim azeicha to get to reach an understanding of Hashem's rotzayin behind creation of the world. And Rabbeinu Zal said the key to their understanding that is based on their understanding the nachas and the pride that Hashem takes in Bnei Yisrael. Since the Torah says Yisrael asher b'cho espoer, that Hashem takes special hisparus with Bnei Yisrael as a nation, and each individual Jew, and each and every single aver of the body of every single Jew, so too, the Torah tells us that the world was created b'shvil Yisroel. B'reishis bor lekim es hashman esoros, the Gemara says, b'shvil reishis, because of Bnei Yisroel, the world was created. So the tzaddik, by understanding the hisparus that Hashem takes in Bnei Yisroel, he uses that as a way of being zeicher to understand the rotzoin behind b'riyas olam, b'klolius, b'protius, and b'protei protius. And Rabbeinu Zal showed how by the tzaddik being zeicher to understand this hisparus of Bnei Yisrael, the pride that Hashem takes in the Am Yisrael, through that the tzaddik is zeicher to be megale yira and ahava to the world. This was the last shiur that we had. We showed how both yira and ahava are both tied into hisparus or tiferis. This was proven clearly from many psukim and many limudim. Then Rabbeinu Zal went on to say, therefore, since the tzaddik is the one who's megala this hisparus, he's also the one who is megala yira and ahava into the world, fear of Hashem and love of Hashem. And if anybody wants to be zeicher to those items in the truest sense, they have to get it from the tzaddik. Rabbeinu Zal said, however, you should know that there are times when even a person who's attached to the tzaddik feels a yerida in this yira and ahava, where the light of the tzaddik becomes dark to the person. He feels cut off. The connection is broken. And Rabbeinu Zal explained that the reason why this comes about is due to achiras hamasim uksilus hasechel shayidei maisim roim. This is brought about through a person doing bad things, and the bad things that they do causes a ksilus hasechel, it causes a pegam in their brain, and as a result of that, the oyer of the tzaddik becomes dark to them. They don't see the light. And Rabbeinu Zal went on to say that how does a person correct this? When a person realizes that they've fallen into a ksilus hasechel that came about through their maisim roim, how does a person correct it? Rabbeinu Zal said, through the concept of the mizbeach. Because the fact is that the whole yenika of klipois and tumah comes from the mizbeach. The Zohar HaKadosh ties this into the concept of the mizbach hanechoshes. Nechoshes is miloshen nochosh. That the yenika of the satan comes from this inyan of achila. The concept of throwing a bone to the satan. The Zohar HaKadosh explains this in detail. So Rabbeinu Zal said that since the whole yenika of the klipois, or the nochosh, or the satan, comes from the mizbeach, we know that nowadays we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have technically a mizbeach, but we have something like it. The Gemara says, Shulchanoi Shalodom is mechaper kemizbeach, that a person's table, a Jew's achila, serves in place of the mizbeach. Therefore, Rabbeinu Zal says, this is also a place where the klipois try to latch on to a person and try to be oinek from a person. This is why a person experiences a bilbul hadas after eating. Many times people become tired after eating, or they feel the brain weakened in a sense when the achila is a drop off. It's not perfect. Whereas when the achila is perfect, when a person is misaking their achila, that's how they make sure that the klipos, the tumah, should not be able to attach itself to them, and they shouldn't suffer from this ksilos hasechel. This is pretty much where we had left off last time. Now Rabbi Nazal says, Ach tzorich shelo liten chiyus lahaklipois, kiim kedei chiyuni betzimtzum. However, a person has to be careful when eating or when doing anything that the klipois are able to latch onto. The person has to be careful to give them only the minimum that they need to be able to exist, v'lo yoiser, and not more than that. The Arizal explains, for a person to try not to give the klipois anything, to destroy them completely, that can't be. Because the reason why Hashem created the world, one of the main reasons is bechira, that there should be free choice. In order for there to be free choice, there has to be a koyach hatumah in the world. There has to be klipois. The only thing is to try to contain them as much as possible, to try to limit them as much as possible. So therefore, Rabbi Nazal says, a person has to see to it to give the klipois just what they need, not more. And then, when the mizbeach is the way it's supposed to be, which means when the person's shulchan is the way it's supposed to be, hainu sheho achilo bekashrus koroi, the person is eating the right way, azai nechnoim haklipois hainu aksilus, then these klipois, this tumah becomes weakened, which means this ksilus, this foolishness becomes weakened, because this concept of ksilus is synonymous with klipois, it's synonymous with soton. The Gemara always says, lo ilam ein adam chayte, elim kein nichnas boi ruach shtus. Chayt, which is the soton, which is the klipa, is based on ruach shtus, ksilus. So it's one and the same. However, when a person eats the right way, and eating the right way means with all the halachos, making sure to be clean before they sit down to eat, to wash the hands the right way, and to eat slowly the way the Torah advises, and to make brachos with kavona, and to eat the right amount, not to eat more than a person's supposed to, not to take big bites of food, which looks like a zoyle of a soive, a person who's eating like an animal, not to be shoveling the food into their mouth quickly, rushing through eating, but rather eating slowly. All the nimusim, all the manners, and all the halachos that the Torah teaches a person supposed to eat with. So Rabbi Nazal says, when a person does it the right way, azay nechnon haklipo esayno aksilus, ki eino inoisen lohem koyach v'chiyus kiim kidei chiyuni b'tzimtzum. Because this person is limiting their power. He's giving them only the minimum just to keep them alive, not to give them the strength to swallow him or to destroy Kedusha or to cause a ksilus in his brain. That minimum he must give them, as is known in the Sifrei Kabbalah. But he's not giving them any more than what the minimum they need to live on is. Therefore, through a yid eating the right way, nichna haksilus, the foolishness is weakened, it's destroyed. Venisroimem haseichel, and the seichel is improved. Kemoishematzinu b'gemara, as the Gemara tells us a story in Baba Kama b'bayo debo Rava Mirav Nachman. The Gemara says Rava asked Rav Nachman a complicated shaila. We know that the Torah tells us in the Chumash it's brought that if a person steals, if a Jew steals and he's caught, he has to pay double. If he stole $100, he's got to pay $200 back. Kefil. What if a Jew steals a shoir or a seh, an ox or a sheep? There the Torah specifies there's and not only does he steal it, but he goes ahead and shechts it. He slaughters the animal before he's caught, before they find out that he stole it. There the Torah says there's a special knas, a special penalty, that not only does he have to pay double, but he has to pay arbo v'chamisha. He has to pay four times as much for one of these, and five times as much for the other, a shoyer or a seh. Now, the question is, what if a ganav confesses? What if before we catch him, he comes to Bezdin to admit that he stole? If he comes to admit, the Torah takes away the knas. Now he doesn't have to pay, he doesn't get fined anymore. If he was honest enough, if he did tshuva, and he was willing to come to admit that he stole, we don't give him a knas. So the Gemara says, Rovo asked Rav Nachman a question, what if a person stole an ox or a sheep that belonged to Shutvim? Two people were partners in an ox. An ox is an expensive animal. It could cost $500, $1,000. Two people chipped in together to buy a shoyer. Somebody stole the shoyer, shechted it, and then he went back to one of the two partners and he confessed to him. He admitted to him, to one of the shutvim, that he's the one who stole it. He didn't admit it to the other. The question is, what do we say now? Do we say that we don't charge him at all? Because since he confessed to one of them, what are you going to say? Charge him half of Arba'a V'Chamisha? Charge him two or two and a half? No such thing. It says in the Torah, he's got to pay four or five times as much if he doesn't confess. If he confessed in such a way that he cut the bill in half, so there's no such thing as half a bill. He only has to replace the shur. Should we say that that's the halacha? Or do we say no? He confessed to one of the shutvim. He admitted to one of the shutvim. Fine. He doesn't have to pay four times as much. Instead of four times as much, let him pay twice as much. Or two and a half times as much instead of the five. This was the question that Rav asked Rav Nachman. So the Gemara says that Rav Nachman told him the halach is that there's no such thing as half a knas. The Torah said Arba'a V'Chamisha. If he can't pay Arba'a V'Chamisha, then he pays no knas at all. He simply has to replace the shur that he stole. That's it. The Gemara says, the next morning, Rav Nachman met Rav again, and he told him, you remember yesterday when I told you this halacha? I changed my mind. The halacha is that he does pay half of the knas. And the question is, why did I tell you the wrong answer yesterday? He said, the Gemara says, Letzafra, the next morning, Omar Lei, Rav Nachman said to him, I changed my psak, that there is half a knas. Vahai de lo yamri loch burta, and the reason why I didn't tell you the right answer last night, de lo yachli bisra de tura, was because I hadn't eaten a meal of meat. And because of that, my mind wasn't so clear. I wasn't thinking 100% clear, so I didn't give you the right answer. So we see from Tosfos says over there that it's because Rav Nachman was fasting also. When a person's fasting, the person feels weak. They're not thinking as clearly as when they eat regularly. And that's why he was able to give an answer that wasn't 100%. So Rabbein Azal says, Nimtza, we see from this story in the Gemara, Shal Yidei Shelo Yochal Lo Yehoisa Daitoi Tzlula, that because of the fact that Rav Nachman didn't eat, his mind wasn't so clear to be able to give the right answer. Kial Yidei Ho Achila, because through Achila, the right way, when a person eats Bigdusha, Nichna Haksilus, that causes the ksilus, the foolishness in the person, to be pushed aside, to be weakened, then is gadel hasechel, and his brain shines, he thinks more clearly in everything. Avil, this is one of the reasons why in the Shulchan Aruch, in Or HaChaim, right after it finishes, first of all, it says very clearly that before a Jew davens, he's not allowed to eat. It's a very major isur to eat before you daven, because that's disrespectful to the king. Our tefillah is considered like we're bringing a korban to Hashem, as if we're giving kaviyochel Hashem a meal. Our tefillah is going to be like a korban. So who eats first, Hashem or me? First you give food to Hashem, then you feed yourself. So therefore, the halacha is very strong that you're not supposed to eat before you daven. And that the Shulchan Aruch says that as soon as a person finishes davening, what's he supposed to do? Straight from davening, he's supposed to go to learn, to the Beis Medrash. But there's one thing that he does first. What's that? He should eat pas shachris. He should eat some bread in the morning. Why? Obviously for this reason, because that's what gives the brain the nourishment that it needs to allow the person to think clearly in his learning. If a person wants to learn with a das tzlula by eating pas shachris, this is what enables him to be able to learn well. Avul kishe oichel kizoylo v'soyvei, But when a Jew eats chas v'shalom the wrong way, he eats like a zoyla v'soyve, like a fresser, in a disgusting way. Shezeh b'chinas pigam ha-mizbeach. That's a concept of a person being poigem in the mizbeach. He's doing something against the mizbeach. Azai yoinkim ha-klipois. Then the klipos, the tumah, is able to draw strength from his pigam, from his wrong way of eating. He's feeding the forces of tumah. Dahainu haksilus, which means the foolishness, yoiser mehoroi. He's giving them more strength than he should be giving. Vazai mezgaber haksilus salasechel. And then inside the person, in this milchama between the ksilus and the sechel, the ksilus takes over. It becomes stronger. We know that there's a pasuk in Mishlei, I believe, lev chacham liyaminoi, v'lev ksil lismoiloi. This is the battle of the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov. There's chachma and ksilus in every person. When a person goes ahead and does something stupid, they see somebody sitting next to them and they poke them, they play a trick on them or something like that. What does it mean? It means that there was a battle going on inside between the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Tov said, don't do that, it's an avera and you're going to hurt the other person and maybe he'll hurt you back. And all gave the person 30 reasons not to do it. The Yetzer Hara gave the person 31 reasons to do it. Do it, it's great, you'll have fun, everybody will laugh, and all the different reasons. And the Yetzer Hara won out. The Ksilus won out over the Seichel. That's when a person does the Avera. Avlal yidei achilo koroi, but when a person eats the right way, nichno in kanal. Then the Klipois and the Tuma and this Ksilus is nichna. This is what's meant when the Gemara says, Mizbeach bechelkoi shel toirof. The Gemara describes the Chalukah of Eretz Yisrael, that each one of the Shvatim had a different section in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says that the Mizbeach was in the Chalik of Shevet Binyamin. Binyamin is compared to Binyamin Ze'ev Yitrof. Binyamin is a wolf that tears. So the Gemara uses this lotion, Mizbeach, Bechelkoi Shel Toireth. The Mizbeach is in the Chalik of the one about whom it's written that he tears. Zebechinas teref nosan li reyov. This corresponds to a different pasuk, where the pasuk says that Hashem provides food for those that are very religious. Li reyov means those that have yirah shemayim, those that eat bekashrus. So we see that this term teref is associated with those that are very religious, those that would normally eat bekashrus. Mizbeach bechelkoi shel toirof, meaning that the person who eats bekashrus, he's misaking the mizbeach. By him, the mizbeach is bikdusha. Bechinas achila bekashrus shal yidei ze machnien v'toirfin oison. So what's the word toireif referring to? What does this person tear? He tears the klipois. What do we sing on Shabbos? Azamer b'shvochin. Azamer, what does azamer mean? I cut, miloshen loisizmor, sodcho loisizmor, the word lizmor means, what do we do with the klipois? We slice them, pruning of the trees, to cut off the bad part. That's what zmirois does, it cuts away the klipois. So here Rabbi Nezal says, mizbeach bechelkoi shel Torah, if a person who has achila bigdusha, he zoicha to this toireif, to tear up the klipois, to tear up the ksilus. But when a person is poigim in the mizbeach, meaning he eats the wrong way, then he gives strength to the ksilus. When a person becomes crazy, one of the words in Hebrew, Rachmal Son, that's used for a person that loses their mind is called a mituraf, chas v'shalom, a person who lost his mind. So we see the same word, teref. If a person has achila bigdusha, there's zoicha to this mizbeach bechelkoi shel toirof, this teref nosan li reyav. If a person is poigim in the achila, the same word takes nekama, instead of tearing the klipois, it tears up his own sechel, and he loses his mind, chas v'shalom. Shemizgaber al yidei zeh. This concept of tiruf hadas is misgaber when a person eats the wrong way. So we see how critical this is, how the achila determines where a person's sechel is. If a person eats that breakfast like a mensch, not running with savlonos, and a person makes says berchas amozai, not running but with yishuvadas, that makes it that when that person will learn, their learning will be matzliach. One example is the fact that we say that when a person eats, they're supposed to leave over a little bit in their plate, you're not supposed to finish, and that little bit gets thrown to the garbage. What is the garbage? The garbage is always a concept of klipa. Giving them, yes. I iser bal tashchis, isn't it an iser to waste food? The answer is that's one example of this concept of giving them a little bit of what they need for Yanika. That's one example. Mayim achroinim. Mayim achroinim choyva, it's brought that that's also something that's given to the klipos. It's tame, you have to be careful with it. Not. There's a few examples from what I recall of different things that take place during a meal that are considered we're giving something to the tumma, just what they need. Also the concept of waste matter, the way that the body digests food, that bedafka, when a person eats, not all the food is used in a positive way. Some of it is excreted. It's thrown out as tsoya. In fact, Rebbe Zal, in his shir, in his Likut Imran shir, he explains this, that the Arizal says this whole concept of digestion, where majority of the food, if a person eats the right way, then the majority of the food goes to the side of the Kedusha. It's used to improve the body, improve the mind, and a small part of the food goes to tsoya, waste matter, klipa, tumma. You're not allowed to daven in front of it. All the different halachas that show that that's klipa tumma. If a person eats the wrong way, if a person overeats or other things and gets a stomach ache, you see that things get mismanaged. Suddenly the person's going to the bathroom in a wrong kind of way. Much more, they're causing they're giving much more to the side of klipa tumma than they're supposed to. Those are all different examples of it.
Now, just recalling that, my mother-in-law always used to leave a small bit of food in the pot, and she didn't even know why she was doing it.
There's an important point that when a Jew eats, they're always supposed to leave over a little bit. That's, again, a form of derech eretz, that an animal cleans the plate. You know, this concept of finishing, destroying everything. It says by the Arba that they'll clean the whole field. There won't be anything left in the fields. Wipe it clean. Whereas a human being shows control. Up to here and no more. I can stop whenever. I don't have to finish. I'm in charge.
There's also the concept about tashchit.
I said that's why it's specifically a little bit. A drop too much. Why bal tashchis? If this is a mitzvah to leave over, why should there be an iser bal tashchis? The answer is because if you leave over too much, you're giving too much to the klipos. With the klipos, the whole secret is to be able to measure. To give them nothing is wrong. To give them too much is wrong. You have to give them just a little bit, the minimum that they need, kidei chiyuni.
She
wants to
say the opposite.
We explained it before. We explained that before. Okay. Sifkot and Dalet. Now Rabbi Nizal says, Ulahashlim pigama mizbeach hual yidei geirim. What happens if a person is poigim? What if a person ate the wrong way and fell into this xilus? What do you do then? Rabbi Nizal says, in order to be mashlim the pigama mizbeach, hual yidei geirim. This is accomplished through geirim, by bringing geirim into Bnei Yisrael. Ki kol ha'avodazoro ein lohem koyach kiim mi pigama mizbeach. The whole strength of the avodazoro comes from the pigama mizbeach, as we explain. This is why there's a pasuk in Malachi when the Torah wants to describe the fact that even the Avodah Zorah, even the Tumah, is actually serving Hashem. They don't realize it. They think they're bringing Karbonis to Avodah Zorah and everything, but really there is no such thing as Avodah Zorah. There's only Hashem. So in effect, it's all really going to Hashem. So there, when it's talking about Avodah Zorah, it uses the Lashon Muktar U'Mugosh Lishmi. It's actually, what's being sacrificed on their Mizbochos is actually for Hashem. Ki Av Shem Oiv De Avodah Zorah, because even though they're idol-worshipping, Kol koicham hu bo mi pigam chelkei hamizbeach. Their strength is coming from a pigam in our mizbeach, in the mizbeach of kedusha. V'alkein omer Hashem Yisborach muktor u'mugosh lishmi, and therefore Hashem says that it's really being sacrificed for me. Ki koicham hu bo mehanitzutz hakodosh shel hamizbeach dikdusha shenofal l'shom, because where is the whole chiyus of this Mizbeach for Avodah Zarah coming from? It's coming from the spark of Kedusha that was part of the holy Mizbeach that fell, that got pogum, and that fell into the hands of the Tumah, and they're able to use that to give them chiyus, to give them strength. So the whole concept of klipos, nourishing, they draw from the Kedusha. They grab on to Kedusha that's mismanaged, and they use it and abuse it to give them more strength than they're supposed to have. Therefore, Rabbi Nizal says, Val Yedei Hagerim, through converts, Al Yedei Shekol Echod Mashlich Emunosoi, V'hoylech Achar Amunas Yisrael, through the fact that Goyim come to throw away their emunos kuzvis, their belief in baloney, in junk, in things that some of them believe in, by them giving that up, and accepting upon themselves the religion of the Yidden, the emunah of the Yidden, al yedeze machnia ho avodah zorah shenase mipigam chelkei hamizbeach. That's how we're zoche to be machnia, the avodah zorah that became strong through a pigam in the mizbeach. Then these sparks of Kedusha from the Mizbeach, the holy Mizbeach, that fell into the wrong hands, that fell into the hands of Tumah, now they're returned back to the Kedusha. The Nishlam HaMizbeach. And the Mizbeach Dikdusha becomes Nistakin, it becomes fixed. Rabbeinu Zal is going to explain very clearly what the connection is now. How, by Gerim coming and joining Bnei Yisrael, does that correct sparks of Kedusha that fell away from the Mizbeach and fell into the hands of the Goyim, the Avodah Zorah? How it works? Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'zeh bechinas." This is what the pasuk says: "Lo yishkav ad yoichal teref v'dam chalolim yishte." They will not sleep, they will not rest until they eat the spoils of war, v'dam chalolim yishte, and drink the blood of the corpses that they destroyed, meaning to really be machnia, the enemy, in the strongest way. V'targumoi, the targum on these words, v'dam chalolim yishte, the targum says, v'nichse amamayo hiros, that the Yidden will inherit, they will yarshin, the nechosim of the nations of the world when they defeat them. That's what it doesn't mean literally drinking their blood. Blood represents the chiyus, ki adam hu nefesh, and nefesh is also the money, the wealth of the person. So the Yidden will acquire the wealth of the goyim that they defeat. Rabbeinu Zal says, yoichal teref zebechinas shleimus hamizbeach. A person who's zoche to eat teref, that means achilo dikdusha, teref nosan li reyov. That's a person who's eating dikdusha. Bechinas mizbeach bechalkoi shel teref kanal. Vezenase al yedei v'nichse amamayo yiros. When is that accomplished? Hainu al yedei geirim. Through geirim. This concept of nichse amamayo yiros, inheriting the possessions of the goyim, that's what's said about geirim specifically. As the Gemara says, le'inyan Yerusha Sager, regarding the inheritance of a ger, that when a ger dies, who gets his Yerusha? His son, his daughter, his father? He has no relatives. A ger who converts has no connection to his past. Kol ha'koydim nechse ager zocho. The Gemara says that anybody who grabs his possessions first, it belongs to them because he has no relatives from before he converted. So therefore, we see this concept of v'nichse amamaya yiros is a remes to geirim. It's referring to geirim. That how is a person, how are we zeicha to this ad yoichal teref, to be mesakein the mizbeach b'chalkoi shel toirof? We zeicha to it through geirim, through the v'dam chalolim yishte, which is merames to geirim, the whole concept of geirim. Hey, Rabbi Nizal says, Ach eich efshar la'asos geirim. However, how is it possible to create geirim? V'haloyim rechokim ma'od mikdushas Yisrael. The goyim are very far removed from the kedusha, the Am Yisrael, either because they live distant from them. The Yidden usually live together in one place, and the goyim are in a totally different place. Or even if they're living close by, still it's two different worlds. That they're so far apart. Umeayin bozois sheyovoy lehem aladas sheizgayru. How in the world does the thought enter into a goy's mind that he should convert? Where does that come from? Rabbi Nezal says, Achda, you should know, Sheze nase al yidei bechinois choin yosef reyim rabim. Hainu al yidei tztoko shenoisen letalmud chocham shehu kolul mikama nefoshois Yisroel. Rabbi Nezal says, you know how it happens? It happens through the concept, there's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, choin, money, Yosef Reim Rabim, brings a person a lot of friends. When a person's rich, everybody wants to be their friend. So we see that money draws friends. Rabbi Nezal says, what kind of money? The mitzvah of tzedakah. Through tzedakah that a person gives to a Talmud Chacham is one who is kolol from many nefoshos. By giving him tzedakah, that's how he's zoche to bring to cause goyim to be nizgayer. What do we mean by a Talmud Chacham being kolol for many nefoshos? A Talmud Chacham is one who, through his study of Torah, because he's zeicha, not only the Rabbi Nezal explains this in a different chapter in Likutei Moran, that when the Gemara says in Nita that when a neshama comes into this world, right before it comes into the world, a malach strikes the person on their upper lip, and they lose all of their learning. During the 9 months that a baby was being raised in the mother's womb, the malach was teaching it the entire Torah. Right before it comes time for the child to come out, the malach strikes it, and the child forgets all of its learning. The Gemara says that right before the baby is about to be born, they make him swear that he's going to go search for this Aveda. He's going to search for this lost article, all the learning that he had that he lost. Rabbi Nezal explains in the Torah Likutei Moran that there are many people in the world that grow up and they don't study a lot of Torah. So they're not really searching for their Avedos. So what happens with their Avedos? Rabbi Nezal says that there are tzaddikim who are zeicha to become such Talmidei Chachomim that not only do they end up searching for their own Aveda, for their own lost Torah, but after they finish finding their own Avedos, they go around picking up other people's Avedos also, and they gather it into themselves. So what happens in effect is that the tzaddik gets his own portion of Torah, plus the portions of Torah that belong to other people also. We know that the word Yisroel is Yesh Shishim, is the Rosh Tevois of the words Yesh Shishim Riboy Oisiyos LaTorah. There are 600,000 letters to the Torah. Each letter represents a nefesh. The tzaddik who gets his portion of Torah plus other people's portions of Torah, automatically he becomes kolol from their nefoshos. He becomes a conglomerate of their nefoshos also. So when a person gives tzedakah to a Talmud Chacham, it's not as if he's giving to one nefesh, it's as if in one shot he's giving to 100 nefoshos or 1,000 nefoshos. Rabbi Nezal says, Ki be'emes eich efsher la'akum lovoy lemunas Yisrael, because really, how is it possible for goyim to come to believe in Hashem, in a concept of Yiddishkeit? V'aloyim rechokim ma'oid mi'Yisrael, they're so far removed from Judaism. How is it possible to start talking to a goy and bring him from where he is to bring him to become to join the Am Yisrael? Rabbi Nezal explains, just like when two people are very far away from each other. One is in one city, and the other one is in a different city. And it's impossible for somebody in Yerushalayim to be talking to somebody in Tzfas without using a machshir, without using a telephone, or something like that. Just like this, to talk from one city to the next is impossible. Tzorich lichtoiv loiksav. He has to write him a letter. That's the only way you can talk to him. If somebody's far away from you and you want to talk to them, how do you do it? by writing to them. Kach tzorich lishloach b'chinas ksav lohem. So too, when the Yidden want to talk to the Goyim, who are so far away from them in ideology, in religion, they're so far from us, the way to talk to them is b'ksav also, like you talk to somebody that's very far from you. We have to be able to send a ksav to them, ad sheyuchlu lishmoya af sheim rechoikim. With that, the Goyim will be able to listen to, even though they're so far from talking to us, listening to our dibur, but through a ksav we can reach them. Ki ikar, Rabbi Nazal explains now, ki ikar chush hashmua hu machmas she'oiseis hadibur nechkokim ba'avir. The whole concept of somebody being able to hear what somebody else is saying is because when a person speaks, the words that they say actually become written into the air. The whole concept of sound waves that you learn about in science, where it's as if the words become written into the air, v'ho'avirim makim zebozeh, and the airwaves travel from one to the next, and they transfer the words, they transfer the sound from one piece of air to the next piece of air, ad shebo lo izna shemea, until the words reach the ear of the one that you're speaking to, or the one that you're yelling to. V'alkein, and therefore, kishil avir nach v'zach v'tzolul, therefore, when the air is calm and clear and clean, azai kishemedaber echot shiyocho iladaber, azai nishma hadibur lemeirochoik. Then when somebody who can speak well speaks, you can hear him very far away. When there's no noise, when there's no disturbances at all, no sound, no noise, nothing being shaken at all, perfect stillness and silence, somebody talking could be heard very far away. As we see, azay nishma adibul meirochay, then the words can be heard very far away, as we see. But when there's a storm going on, and there's a lot of noise, and there's a lot of movement from the wind blowing and the raindrops falling, all of that, then somebody who's standing 100 feet away from you, if you talk, he doesn't hear you, because the air is being disturbed by the winds and by the sounds of what other things that are going on. Because the wind of the storm disturbs and breaks up the sound waves, the sound that's traveling through the air. To the point where his friend doesn't even hear any sound at all. Certainly the friend can't make out what he's saying. He can't understand what you're saying, because the air is being disturbed to such a point. So therefore, we see that if you want to be able to talk and have somebody that's distant from you be able to hear you, there's two ways. One way is to write a letter to them, and the letter, when the person gets it, he reads it, and it's as if you're talking to him. Or another way is that you have to create a perfect stillness in the air, where the air should be 100% calm and still, then you can be heard far away. Now Rabbi Nizal says, "Valyidei tztoko hu loikeach nefoshois." Through tztoko, a person is zeiche to gather nefoshois, referring to these goyim, to these gerim, to be able to bring them into Bnei Yisrael. Ki loikeach liatzmoi reim v'oyavim, because through tztoko, a person gathers to himself friends. Kemoisha Omar Munvaz, as one of the kings once said, Avoisai Gonzumomoin. He was a person who, when he took over as king, he started taking tremendous amounts of money from the treasury of the king and giving it out to tzedakah. So people said to him, "You're crazy. You're gonna become poor from this, and you're gonna suffer from this." So he said, "On the contrary, my parents and my grandparents, when they were kings, they gathered wealth, they made themselves rich. They gathered stuff down here, but I'm going to gather for myself zechuyos in shamayim." He said, "Avoisai gonzu mamoin." My parents and the ones that came before me, they gathered money. Va'ani gonazdi nefoshos. But I'm gathering people. In other words, he felt that by distributing a lot of money to tzedakah, people would get to like him as king. if people would like him, they would serve the king and they would build up the country, they would make things very, very good. So we see that through tzedakah, he was goynez nefoshos. He was loikeach nefoshos. He gathered friends. Nimtza shekol ma shenoisein tzedakah liyoser anoshim. Therefore, the conclusion that we draw is that the more people that a person gives tzedakah to, he gathers to himself more friends. If he gives five people, he has five friends. If he gives 5,000 people, he has 5,000 friends. V'chein isa b'tanchuma parshas noyach. And this is actually brought in the Medrash. The Medrash says on this pasuk, v'loikeach nefoshos chacham, ze hazones ho'aniyim. Who is the chacham who gathers to himself nefoshos? That's a person who gives food to the poor. By that, he draws them to himself. He makes friends with them. So Rabbi Nezal says, v'idezoi so'avo shekoin alidei atzdoko, through the friendship that a person buys, uknei l'chochover, right? The Mishnah says, through this friendship that the person buys, through tztoko, ha'ideze nizdake cho'avir. That's what helps to clear the ear, A-I-R. V'chol ma shenoistim liyoisar anoshim tztoko, v'koina ahavim yoisar anoshim. And the more people that a person reaches with his tztoko, and he makes more friends, by doing that, he accomplishes making more and more sections of the air completely still and clear. Why? Rabbi Nezal explains now. Ki ahavo hu izdapkus rucha barucha. Because what does the Torah call ahavo? It's a concept of the root. Two ruchos of people becoming nizdabik, become an attachment that's formed between this person and that person. But the wording that's used in the Torah is ruchos. A ruach nediva means a person who likes another person, he's generous to the person. A ruach of ahava is this concept of people getting to like each other. Rabbi Nezal says, "Dahainu ruach ha'oyhev beruach ha'nehav." This means the spirit of the one that likes with the one that's being liked. There's a izdapkus between their ruchos. There's a connection made. Shezeh bechinas avir hanach sherucham nochim ze mize. That's the wording in the Gemara. Rucham noch ze bo ze. When people like each other, it means there's a pleasant spirit between them. Note the word ruach is used, which means also avir. There's a, in other words, when people are angry at each other, they become enemies, and they want to make peace. What do they say? Let's get together and clear the air. That's the expression that's used, clear the air. Why clear the air? Because obviously when there's sinna between people, it means that the air is very shaky between them. There's a noisiness, there's an ugliness between them. When a ruach of av was created between them, the avir becomes solo. The air between them becomes perfectly clear. If I want to talk to you and I want you to be able to hear me out very well, that can only be if we're friends. When people are enemies, neither one wants to hear the other one. So there's a concept of this avir that's no good between them. It's like there's a storm taking place between them. When ahava is created between them, it's like the air becomes perfectly clear between them. By Yosef HaTzadik and his brothers, it says, V'lo yochlu dabroi l'sholoim. They couldn't talk. Why? Couldn't hear. There was a storm between them. This storm of sinna and kinna. When people become oyavim, that's when the air becomes cleared. Ki asino hu bechinas ruach ro, because sino is called in the Torah a concept of a ruach ro, as the pasuk says in Shoftim, vayosem Hashem ruach ro bein Avimelech uvein anshei Shechem. It means upirish Rashi sino. Hashem may created a sino between Avimelech and the people of Shechem. Note the wording in the pasuk ruach ro, like a storm between them. Nimtzo shesino hu bechinas ruach ro bilbul ha'avir. So we see from this that sino, hate, is a concept of a ruach ra, which means a disturbance in the air. Shaydeze ein yecholin l'shmoya hadibur. That's what makes it that you can't hear what's being said. V'lo yochlu dabroi. Ulehepech ahavo v'reus hu bechinas avir hanach v'azach. And when there's the opposite, when there's friendship and love, then there's a concept of a perfectly clear ear between us. You hear me very well. When the ear is perfectly clear, then what's being said can be heard very far away. How does a person create ahava? Through tztoka. As the pasuk said, with money you add on a lot of friends. You buy, you knei lecha chaver. By giving, a person is zoicha to acquire friends. Through tztoka, a person acquires themselves friends. Through that, he creates this clear ear. The more people that you give tzedakah to, the more sections of ear that become cleared. I have a clear ear with this person, with this person, with that person. He keeps cleaning out sections of the ear. When a person gives tzedakah to one person, he's acquiring one friend. Then there's a kesher formed between their ruachs, their spirits. V'nase shetach koton shel avir hanach vazach. And there's created a little area of clear air between these two people. U'kishenoisin stokel shnei anoshim. And when he gives to two people, nase shetach yoiser godol shel ho avir hanach vazach. He creates a larger area of clear air. V'chein kol ma shemar b'liten liyoiser anoshim v'koin aloi reyem v'oyevim yoiser. And the more people he gives to, and the more friends he acquires, the pasuk makes a point of saying that there's a potential of buying a lot of friends. Rabim, nizgadel v'nisrabe yoiser v'yoiser hashetach shel ho'avir hanach bazach. He increases this clear. He keeps clearing more and more area where this avir hanach bazach is there. V'alkein ho'iker liten tztoko litzadikim amitim ulanim hagunim. Therefore, it's so important when a person gives tztoko to give it to tzadikim amitim and to anim who are really deserving of the tztoko. Sheklulim mikamo nefoshes Yisrael. These people are actually not one nefesh. He doesn't represent one nefesh. He represents a bunch of nefoshes. If a person zeicha to be a tzadik, this person is like 1,000 or like 600,000. Remember, the Gemara says, which woman gave birth to 600,000 in one shot? Yocheved, the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu. So we see that Moshe Rabbeinu was considered like 600,000 neshamos. Person giving tztoka to Moshe Rabbeinu, it was like he gave to the entire Klal Yisrael. In one shot, he cleared the avir around the whole world, literally. Because by that he clears a tremendous large area of Avir Hanach Vazach. Because with the tztoka that he gives to these one or two or few tzadikim, in one shot he acquires Reim Rabim. Each one of these is like a tremendous large amount of nefoshos. Ki hem klulim meharbe nefoshos. Because these tzadikim, uranim, hagunim, they are actually kolul from a group of nefoshos. Shaydeze misrabe biyoiser bechina so'avir anach vazach kanal. That's how he clears a tremendous large area of avir. Vazai kishoavir nach vizach, azai kishemedaber zesh yocheladaber dibura Yisraeli, hainu dibura kodosh. Now, once the air has been cleared, once a large shetach of air has been cleared, now somebody who knows how to speak a dibura dikdusha, one who can speak the right way, azai ze hadibur nichta venechkak boavir, that word becomes sent out into the air, and it becomes written in sound waves into the air. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, l'shoini eit sofer mohir, my tongue is a pen that writes very quickly. So we see that sometimes, even when a person's speaking, it could be like writing. Just like writing a letter, you can write something that's talking to somebody 6,000 miles away. When the air is clear enough, It's possible for a tzaddik to be speaking, and his words should be like a letter that's written, a missile that can fly thousands of miles away and reach even goyim that are far removed from Bnei Yisrael. Then the dibur is able to travel and to be listened very far away. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says in Megillas Esther about Mordechai Atzadik, it says v'shamoy choylech bechol hamedinos, that his reputation was known far and wide. Note v'shamoy, they were able lishmoya, to hear, bechol hamedinos, in all the countries. Ki machmas sheho avir zach venach, because of the fact how, through shalachmonis, through matonis levyonim, through the tztokos that were done then, the tztokos is what creates this avir anach. So Rabbein Zal says, ki machmas sheho avir zach venach, yecholon lishmoya lamei rochoy, because the air is clean and clear, thereby you're able to hear very far away. Vazai ze hadibur nichtav besifreim shelho akum. And then what happens is that the dibur, the tzaddik, when the tzaddik is giving a shir in his city, in his Beis Medrash, his dibur can be heard hundreds of miles away, and it becomes written. Lashoni 8, Sofer Mohir. It becomes written in what? Written into the Sforim of the Goyim. Written into their books. Medina u'medina kichsovo, like it says by Mordechai Tzaddik, again, that the story of the Megillah was written in their Sforim. And then what happens is, when the Goyim take out their books to read it, suddenly in their own books, they're finding things that contradict their emunah, that contradict their faith. Rabbein also says, we find if people are familiar with Gerim, they know that many of them converted through this bedavka. Because they discovered in their own books things that contradicted their faith. They were reading their books of religion, and they found things there that seemed to be show them that what they believe in is baloney, it's junk. Rabbein Ezal says, okay, we'll hold it over here for now. This is going to be sort of a summary of what we had till now.